Our passage tonight that we're going to be using is Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. It's also found in Mark 3, 31 to 35, Luke 8, 19 to 21. Adjusting to the true fellowship of God's family. Though Christ's ministry of preaching the gospel of the Messianic kingdom and healing the infirmed was initially widely received, Israel's leaders publicly rejected him in Matthew 12, 22 to 37, with Mark 3, 20 to 30. Accordingly, Christ eventually rejected these unbelieving leaders in Matthew 12, 38 to 45, what led to his rejection of the people of Israel since they followed their leader's rejection of himself. What followed in Matthew 12, 46 to 50, along with Mark 3, 31 to 35, and Luke 8, 19 to 21, was Christ's revelation of the true fellowship of God's family, what every believer needs to know and to apply for his edification. I want to read the passage in Matthew 12, and then we'll get into it. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While Jesus yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, your mother and your brethren are standing outside, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12, 46 to 47, with Mark 3, 31 and 32, Luke 8, 19 and 20, reported that Jesus' earthly mother Mary and earthly brothers arrived at a house where Jesus was teaching, and due to the press of the crowds around him, they could not enter the home to meet Jesus, so they sent word for him to come out and meet them. Now we know from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the English Standard Version, the NIV has this, that these earthly family members of Jesus had come to take custody of him, for his skipping meals and busily ministering to people had led them to conclude that Jesus was insane. Now, this is quite a remarkable passage because it revealed that Jesus' own earthly family, including his mother Mary, sinned in unbelief in Jesus at this time in his ministry. And, of course, this event counters the Roman Catholic Church's doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, where Mary is believed to be conceived without sin and thus was impeccable or incapable of sinning in her earthly life. Mary sinned at this particular point. She exhibited a lack of faith in the Lord Jesus and in what he was doing. And so she sought to, and Jesus' earthly brothers sought to intervene. Well, Jesus' response to this event revealed the basis of fellowship in God's spiritual family. And this is a very interesting statement because this has a tremendous application to earthly family. It also has tremendous application to our spiritual family in the Lord. Christ answered the man who informed him that his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak with him by asking him, who's my mother? Who are my brothers? Then looking around about him on those who sat in the house listening to his teaching, we know that from Mark 3:34, and stretching his hand out towards these people, Matthew 12, 49, Jesus added, behold, my mother and my brothers. Jesus explained that whoever did the will of his Father who was in heaven, what these disciples were doing, such a person was his mother and brother, and even sister. And he added that relationship of sister that Jesus included it to signal that he referred to any human being who did the will of his heavenly Father was like a family member to him. That's how the Lord Jesus looks at us. That's an amazing statement. Luke chapter 8, verse 21 clarified that those who did the will of Christ's heavenly Father was the same as the one who heard the word of God and obeyed it. Now that's very important. This clarification meant much to the non-eyewitness Luke. Remember, Luke in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, indicated that he was not an eyewitness, but he had interviewed the eyewitnesses. And the reason Luke mentions that he who hears the word of God and does it, that was a priceless statement to him, because Luke never heard the Lord Jesus. He wasn't here on the earth. He wasn't there in Jesus' earthly life like Mark was, like John was, or Matthew was. So it's the same thing as if we hear the Lord Jesus with our own ears in his earthly life, it's the same thing as reading the will of God in the Bible. And that's why Luke puts that passage in there. So this clarification meant much to the non-eyewitness Luke, as it does to others like Luke who never heard Jesus teach in his earthly ministry, but who are exposed to the written scriptures that were spiritually authored by him. We know that the scriptures are spiritually authored by Jesus because in Revelation 19, 11 to 13, when Jesus comes back on the white horse at Armageddon, he's actually called the Word of God. And he is. He's the Word of God personified. Now, in other words, Jesus revealed that the spiritual relationship between Jesus Christ and believers is closer than the closest of blood ties. So obedience to God takes precedence over responsibilities to family. Have you ever noticed this? When you go to another church and visit another church, I had Christians tell me this. They go into another church, maybe upstate New York, Pennsylvania, wherever you're out there, and you've never seen these people before, but they're a Bible church or a Baptist church, whatever, they love the Lord, and you feel at home. Perfectly at home. And you greet them, and they greet you, and you tell them, I'm a born-again believer, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Automatically, you're in with the group. Because there's a connection there, a spiritual connection, that even though you've never met these people before, they're part of your family. A Roman general one time was trying to describe to the emperor in Rome, when they were out trying to persecute Christians, the definition of a Christian. And the Roman general said, Christians are people who know each other before they meet. And that's a pretty good illustration. That's what a Christian is, because of that family tie. It's very, very close. Well, Christ's teaching on this subject carries a great application to relationships, both in natural and spiritual realms. Though Christ's earthly mother Mary, who was blessed of God to bear the Messiah, Jesus, so that according to Mary's own Magnificat, all generations of God's people would call her blessed. Her Magnificat is in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 49. When she doubted Jesus' sanity in an act of unbelief, so that she sought to take custody of him in Mark chapter 3, 21, 31 and 32, she was not in fellowship with Jesus and God the Father, as were the people who were crowded in the room where Jesus was teaching them. In other words, there was a distance between Jesus and Mary at this point in her life, where there wasn't a distance between Jesus and the disciples, who were not really blood relatives of his at all, but they saw eye to eye with him. They were in fellowship with him. Thankfully, Jesus' mother, Mary, and his earthly brothers had a change of heart after his resurrection, so that they were among the 120 believers who met at Jerusalem and upon whom the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. We know in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, when the 120 met in that upper room and they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, that Mary and Jesus' brothers joined them. So they had a change of heart. They obviously were believing Jesus. I kind of wonder if the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body appeared to Mary and to his brothers. I wouldn't doubt that, just to clarify that he was really risen from the dead. And of course, the Spirit of God fell on them in Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, and they were all speaking in other languages. They needed to repent of their unbelief for restored fellowship with God, for their spiritual relationship with Jesus superseded their natural relationship with the Lord. So when Jesus' earthly family sought to take custody of him in unbelief, Jesus revealed that the disciples around him who heeded God's word were in true fellowship with him and not his earthly family. Thankfully, Jesus' earthly family later had a change of heart and came back into spiritual fellowship with him and with the Father. So in application, may we value heeding Scripture as the only essential priority of enjoying fellowship, not only with God, but with all other people, including earthly family, and extended family members. We have a lady who's going to be joining our church, and because this is being recorded on the internet, I'll just mention her first name, Mary. She's joining our church, and we'll have membership Sunday next Sunday. And she told us a remarkable testimony of how she came to know the Lord. And she came to know the Lord before her husband did. And there was such a remarkable change in her life. It wasn't bad or anything, but her husband, who wasn't saved, really didn't know how to handle it. So at one point he said, "I believe we need to get a divorce." And her heart sunk because she had three small children at the time. And she didn't know what to say. She went upstairs and she prayed to God. She was still a fairly new believer. And she said, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do if my husband leaves me. I got three small children here. I just don't know what to do. But God, if that's what you want, it's okay with me. But I need help. I need help as to knowing what to do." So she prayed and committed it to the Lord. Well, her husband never spoke of it again. In fact, he started going to church and he accepted the Lord as his Savior. So the marriage, thankfully, was saved. And it was just a wonderful testimony that she gave. And she went on about that. But I thought, that's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about in this message to hear. Mary got to the point where she said, "Okay, my relationship with the Lord is number one. You can't give that up. I know him as my Savior. And I've just led my daughter here to Christ." And she was a young daughter at the time. Her boys, I don't know if they knew the Lord. I don't think they did. But she had two boys and one girl. But she said, "You know, even if my husband leaves me, I have the Lord. And Lord, I just need help." And God marvelously stepped in and took control of that situation. That's what it takes. We have to get to the point where we realize that the relationship that we have with the Lord is close. It's tight. It's tighter than blood ties. And the relationship we have with other people in the Lord is closer than blood ties. This explains, in fact, I've had a number of times people in our own church family have told me that they feel closer to people within the fellowship here than they do even with extended relatives who don't know the Lord. And that's true. It doesn't mean that we stop loving relatives. Good grief, no. But there's a bond that we have in the Lord with fellow Christians that goes way beyond and is much richer and much deeper. So what we need to do is to recognize that there is a true fellowship in God's family. But that true fellowship is based upon mutual commitment to the will of God and obedience to the will of God. If we obey the word of God and other people in the church or other Christians around us are obedient to the Lord, then there's this connection. There's a fellowship that goes way beyond blood ties. And God help us to stay in that relationship with the Lord.